places that help you, your imagination, and you can go there with your senses and with everything to that encounter with Jesus. I mean, the petition, that is the goal, is a grace. The reason it's a petition is because we need something that God wants to give us. So it's a grace that St. Ignatius always repeated. I mean, ask what you want. I mean, and you say, why is he saying this? Because he knows that we may be in the meditation, wasting our time. This is not about thinking, this is about the action of God in your souls. So the petition is the goal of the meditation always. And it's what is going to be the content of the dialogue. So when you go to talk to Mary, and talk to the Jesus and to the Father, try to bring the petition there, because it's a grace that you are asking to your mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, to Jesus, and they want to give us these graces because they are very important. They are not the topics we are dealing are not something. I mean, they are the whole thing of spiritual life and the action of God in our souls. And so they are important graces that we need. And there now is the but first the preambles, the petition, the preambles are the page I gave you of an act of faith. So, but an act of faith, God is here. No, that is not an act of faith. An act of faith is something that transforms your interior being because you understand who is God and who am I before Him. And that is transforming. Faith is not informative, it's transformative and performative. That is something that Benedict XVI repeated and repeated constantly in a lot of documents. Faith is not informative, it's not knowledge, it's performative. So if I do well the act of faith, something has to change in my heart. If I understand that everything now in this moment is in the almighty power of God, my head, my mind, my feelings, my pains, whatever I have, I mean, something is changing in my relationship with God. The same if I understand that His love for me, that I am a child of God. I mean, it's something that all the acts of faith are related to other. So they are not about Him only. It's also about me and my relationship with Him. So something in my heart can change if I do well these actions, these preambles, because they open me to God. I mean, faith and hope open the human heart to God. And it's the way He works in us, and He pours our graces with humility and trust. Humility and purifying intention. So you are having not any feeling. Try to purify that. Don't look to your feelings. Look for God. Why? Because God is there. But God is going to work in you not through feelings. Because if you are looking for feelings, you are looking to yourself. You are not looking to God. And in that moment, you are losing the whole thing of faith, hope, and charity. So if I am feeling or if I am not feeling, it's not something that is in my hands. How I am opening through my choices in faith, hope, and charity is something that is in my hand. And humility. Because it's a choice and it's a grace that God wants to give me. Because He wants me to come closer to Him. How? Through faith, hope, and charity. And they are not, it's very important because our emotional level is very, we are accustomed to, I don't feel something, there is nothing here. No, this is not the truth. I mean, God is there, you feel or you don't feel. And God is almighty, you believe or you don't believe that God is almighty. God is almighty also for the atheist. The thing is that when you proclaim in your heart that God is almighty, you are letting in some way to be almighty in you. Because the only place that He's not accomplishing His almighty power is within you. Because my choices, my desires, my feelings, my emotions, my thoughts, and the same thing about love. God is love. You believe that God is love or He is not love. When you believe and you hope, you open to His love. It's not that God begins now to be love or no. I mean, my faith don't make nothing in God. What makes something is in me because now I am opening to God. It's clear this point. It's very important that we understand that God doesn't depend on our faith or hope or whatever. It's that I depend, stopping my ego, of my faith and my hope. Because if not, I am in my egocentric behavior that is the consequence of original sin and every one of us has. As a consequence of that. And it's about desires now and feelings and emotions. And we are not letting the spiritual to become. Spiritual is always a personal relationship with other. It's communion now. When I am making an act of faith and of hope and of whatever, if I'm not getting in a personal relationship with God, I'm not making an act of faith. It's clear? It's not information. It's getting in a personal relationship with someone. That's the reason they are called theological virtues, because theos is God. And logic is knowledge of God. So they are the virtues that let me know God, let me open to God. The reason they are called theological is because they are about God and my relationship with Him. And who is Him and how I depend on Him. If I put in prayer, I say, you are my creator, I am your creature, I exist because you love me, I am in my being what you want to give me in this moment, and you begin to go deeper in what it means to be a creature of God, I mean, something in your heart is changing necessarily if you do that, clearly. But I mean, if we don't do the step, God is creator. I believe or I don't believe. And one day, that is the judgment. The judgment that everything will come to light, and we will see how He's guiding everything, ruling everything, except my heart. And that is, but He's creator for the atheist, for the agnostic, for the Buddhist, for whatever. God is creator, is the given of everything to everyone, now and here. It's not that He was a creator, so He kicked off the thing in the Big Bang, and now the things are running by their own self. No, 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 that doesn't have nothing to do with creation. Creation means that He, now, I exist because He's loving me and He's giving my being. He has given a being that is in a process of development. Yes, no problem. I mean, that is something that is known by all generations of humanity. We think with evolution we have discovered something. I mean, a plant, God is creator of the seed and is creator of the whole process of development of the plant. It's not because it's a development of the plant, now God is not creator. I mean, it's confounding. Having a confusion between evolution and creation is one of the most stupid things in philosophical level. I mean, there are two levels of action. Philosophical is how matter developed and how God has created it. There are things that develop slower, other quicker, and all is in a process because all is going to perfection. So the process of evolution is a process of perfection. That is the way God has created matter. The angels have no evolution because they are perfect in their own being when they are created. And the other things are created for us understanding in a process of evolving, in a process of progress and perfection. And that doesn't mean that the thing that depends from the beginning to the end totally, absolutely and permanently from God. It's that God has given a law to that thing for being in that way. It's clear the point, and is sustained by God, because we have some problems sometimes in the problem of evolution, how God is creator. I mean, God, if God stopped in this moment thinking on you and loving you, you will not exist. And this, the whole universe. I mean, so we understand with whom we are dealing. I mean, it's not a guy that is in an idea that I have in my head. I mean, this universe has 100,000 million stars in this galaxy. 100,000 million stars. You get that? I mean, try to understand the dimension of the thing. So the sun is one of the stars, and there are 100,000 millions of other stars bigger than the sun, and other are bigger or smaller. But there is the whole thing of this galaxy that is the Milky Way. I mean, and this is one galaxy. So you send every human being to one star, there will be thousands of millions of stars with any human being. And this is a little planet in one of the stars. And the thing is not that there is only one galaxy, is that there are 10,000 million galaxies. So if we send every human being to a galaxy with thousands of millions of stars, will be galaxies without any human being. And this, for me, is more difficult to do this than from God creating the universe. I mean, we are not dealing with a guy that is an idea that we have. No, we are dealing with the Almighty God, the Creator. And the only way you understand that God is God is when you understand that it's His Creator. It's clear the point? All the ideas of God that don't bring you to the Creator are not God. There was a very, very intelligent man, that is God, Arius, that denied the divinity of Jesus. And the way of denying the divinity of Jesus was very simple. He was very intelligent, he was a good theologian, he was very spiritual, and he was all these things for deceiving people, as Satan works. But he was not able to state anything, one thing about Jesus. You say to him, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. Jesus is wisdom. Yes. Jesus is light. Yes. He can state everything about Jesus. Only one thing Jesus was not. What? The Creator with the Father. And that is the reason in the Creed is not made, that is not created, but begotten eternally by the Father, through whom all things have been created. So it's against Arius, directly, because this guy was getting everything about the Jesus. Even he can say he's divine, yes, because he's participation of the divinity of the Father, but he was not able to say that God is Creator. So when you are putting before God, if you get aware of what means that he's Creator, you are before God. Because it means that he's Almighty at the same time. And everything is in his power. And if this is happening, it's because he's wanting it. And nothing can happen out of his divine will. Even the evil that is happening in human history is in his divine will. For the salvation of the world. He has ways, he doesn't want evil directly or indirectly, but the problem is that there is a human will that is destroying everything. Because the human will from the beginning can go against God and can destroy everything. The animals are perfect. Look to the animals. They don't have any problems. Why? Because they always obey God. They always obey the law that they have in their nature. And they never can go from there. You and me, we have a lot of problems. Why? Because we don't obey God. And instead of following the truth, we follow our own feelings, our emotions, our plans, and our things. And now we are wounded in so many ways. Why? Because we are not letting God to be God. The only way you let God to be God is the first statement of the Bible. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The first, Genesis 1:1. And the first statement of our faith in the Creed, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. So it's the most important thing for believing the other things, because Jesus is the creator. So Jesus is with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the creator. He's not a guy that is a good guy. Oh, he was very intelligent and very loving. Nothing to do with that. He is God. That he was very loving and very kind, but he is God. So try to get there, because, I mean, the relationship of God depends on how you open to God. And the true God, the reality of God. Not you thinking about God, because you're thinking about God, I'm sorry for saying it, is always deceitful. And the only way you know God is looking to Jesus and understanding that he is God. And looking to Jesus crucified. And when you look to Jesus crucified and you understand that he's God, the creator of heaven and earth, almighty God with the Father, you begin to have a personal relationship with God. Because God is such, you believe or you don't believe. It's clear the point. And he revealed himself for bringing us to him. But through the truth of who is him and through the truth of who are us. The only person that always remains in the total awareness that God is creator is Mary. And the reason she is so amazing and so great. Why? Because she was always, God was bringing her to the fullness of his existence. That means that she doesn't have original sin. That she was aware of her nothingness before God always. That is what he proclaims in the Magnificat. God has looked, the Almighty has looked the nothingness of her servant. We translate it, for making an euphemism, because we are afraid of words, the lowliness of her servant. No, it's the nothingness. At the same time, he knows the Almighty has done great things for me. But she knows that everything is coming from God. And in you, everything is coming from God. The only thing that is not coming from God in my heart and in my life, what is? Evil. That is the only thing that is not coming from God. And when we began to deny God and make our crazy ways of thinking, he came to this world through his Son, and he shows that even evil is in his plan for those who are open to him. That is the mystery of the cross, and it's the mystery of salvation. It's the mystery of the mercy of God, that he continue loving us even we continue hating him. It's clear the point? I mean, it's very important, because this is a meditation about the mercy of God, the infinite mercy of God. You can go to the Luke 15, It's all a chapter about the mercy of God, all the chapter. First is the Good Shepherd. How God, when you sin, and get this word of God clear in your heart. When you sin, God is looking for you as the Good Shepherd. And it's not that he's upset with you or is angry with you or you have sinned and now he... No, God is the Good Shepherd that is looking for you, for taking you in his shoulders and bringing you back home. I mean, because we think in very wrong ways about sins. Because it's our psychological level against work. It's not faith. Because faith is founded in the Word of God, in what God has revealed. And that he, when I sin, he's looking for me. And he continues looking for me. Are the three parables, that one is that, the Good Shepherd, the other is the drachma, that the woman who has lost a coin, and is God, how the intensity, in the woman is God, the intensity that he's looking for someone who is lost. So as the prodigal son, the intensity of God, and the third is the prodigal son. That is an amazing parable of the prodigal father. What is the mercy and the love of the father for the two childs, even they were both, even one worse than the other. Because at the bottom of the parable is the one who is at the house of the father, in my opinion, is worse than the one who is carousing and spending his money in prostitutes and whatever. At least he knows that he was a sinner. The one who was at the house of the father, he thought that he was wonderful. I mean, and that is Jesus talking about religious people. That is me first, because I am more religious than you, because I am a religious life. I have but I can be there deeper, thinking that I am good. I mean, and that is the worst thing that can happen with God, because not knowing his mercy. And this guy that was checking all boxes necessary for thinking that he was good, I have obeyed you always, in the desperation of this guy with God. And I mean, and he was envious. He was without love to his dad, without love to his brother. He was aggressive. He has all the misery that a person can have in the heart. And at the same time, he was thinking that he was wonderful. I mean, in these two people are all of us, according to Saint John Paul II, all humanity is in one and in the other. Now, when we think that we are good, I mean, and the only one here who is good in the parable is the Father. You don't know me. All my things are yours. The point is that because he's living in his ways, he doesn't know the goodness of God. So this is a parable of the mercy of God. Another text about the mercy of God, a powerful text, is Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Another text about the mercy of God, how God loves me being sinner and you being sinner. I mean, it's not that he loves me when I am good. No, that is not true. That is a human lie, because your parents, usually we are projecting our parents' behavior and we think, I mean, I did that wrong, my parents didn't love me, and now we think the same thing about God. No, God loves you always. You do wrong. The only person you are harming when you are doing wrong is yourself. I mean, you cannot blaspheme or you curse God. You are spitting up, and you know what is, you spit up, what is going to happen? She cannot touch God. You touch God because he loves you. And when you destroy yourself, I mean, it's an image. I mean, imagine I have a big power. So I am so powerful that I can make this table an energy that is coming from an electric magnetic camps that I am creating here. And I create a little dolls that I put here they can move and do everything, and they have even capacity of choosing. I am so powerful in my intelligence for making these things, and they are here, and they are moving because the energy that is coming from the camp that I have created here. And I say to them, don't go out. If you go out, you lose energy, you die. You will lose everything because the energy is coming from here. So you go out, you are dead. And one of them, go ahead. Say, okay, I'm trying. And fall down. Do you think that I'm going to be upset or angry? No, I will see the little thing I created is dead. There, because he jumped out. I mean, I will take him, that is what Jesus came, and brought us back to life. But I mean, don't think in God that is, we punish ourselves when we go away from the plan of, this is the love of God, I will say, the image. we go from his love, it's us who are harming ourselves. It's not that he's upset or angry, that is a common idea, because I'm a priest and a confessionary of people, when they have sinned. Now they are sad and frustrated and a sense of guilty. And that has nothing to do with God. It's all psychological level. God is conversion, because it's more joy in heaven. That is the thing that Jesus repeats in the three parables. In the last, with an example, is more joy in heaven for one sinner that convert than 99 liars that don't need conversion. Because every one of us is in need of conversion. So in the moment I think that I don't need conversion, he said that I am a liar to myself, because I cannot lie to God. I mean, he knows exactly where is my heart and how much I need to convert, because conversion is a process of growing. It's a process of maturity. It's a process of coming to holiness. And whatever is my stage in life, as St. Paul was saying last week, living back what is the past, I throw myself toward the goal, the vocation of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he doesn't stop. Even he was in that state of holiness and fullness, he knows that the thing is always conversion. It's going forward. Why? Because the plan of God has no limits in any one of us. But we are putting limits because our lack of faith, our lack of hope, and our lack of desires of fullness. So first thing is, this is about the infinite mercy of God. His love is love to your weakness, your poverty. This is mercy. So God loves your poverty. God loves your weakness. Do you understand this point? This is the key of everything in a spiritual life. That God loves you in your weakness and in your poverty. This is all the little way of Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus. And we read things, but we don't assimilate things. That is his love for her poverty and nothingness. I mean, and she understood that. And she lived all her life from that mercy of God that was revealed to her through her dad, because she has a dad that was a saint also, and is canonized already. Why? Because he shows her such mercy that even was Hansenissen was the heresy that was there around in that society. Hansenissen is, God is justice, don't move, that he's going to hit you, and he's going to... He understood that cannot be, this is impossible. My dad is so good, so kind. God has to be infinite more good than my dad, because also his dad was a man of prayer and a man of integrity as both, her mom and her dad. I mean, and she understood that cannot be, and she transformed the church through her little experience in a convent and wrote a book that is, you know, the story of soul, of a soul that is amazing. It's about the action of God in her, and in 24 years one is the greatest saint of the church and is a doctor of the church. I mean, why? Because she let God. I mean, she understood the mercy of God. And I will give you a paper of her with some ideas of her. It's all about that humility and trust, humility and trust. Right, because the way God works in us. So the petition here is that, Almighty Father, you have revealed your mercy, so your love for sinners shown in the cross of your Son. That is mercy. It's the love for misery. So the one who has the misery is not the love for the one who is good. It's the love of the one who is weak and poor and sinful, and God continue loving her as the Samaritan woman. I mean, he looks for her. I mean, in your power over sin manifested in the resurrection of the cross. So the mercy of God is everything in a spiritual life. Why? Because the cross of Jesus is the mercy of God, is the love of God for sinners, and the resurrection is the power of God for healing our hearts. It's clear the point. You don't believe these two things, you don't believe in God. Because God has put all salvation in the faith of Jesus. In the faith of the cross, that is his Son crucified for me. So for my being a sinner, being weak and poor as I am, and the love he has for me. And the second, the power he has for that. Because we believe in the cross, because we believe in the resurrection. So you don't believe in the power of God for healing everything, even death, you don't believe in the cross. It's clear the connection that I am talking. So the source of our faith is the resurrection, is not the cross. We believe in the cross because the resurrection. It's clear the thing? Everything that you believe about God in Jesus is because the resurrection. we have a very little faith in the resurrection of Jesus. That reason we have so many problems with the fear of death. That is a meditation that we are not able to do because we don't have time, but it's powerful because we have fears because we don't believe in the power of God on death, sin, and suffering, because that is the resurrection. So the power God has for everything inside me that is contrary to Him, if I open to Him. We go always to the same problem, because this is not, if what do you want? Do you want to be healed of this, of that? You don't want, okay. That means that you don't believe in the love of God for you, and you don't believe in the fullness He wants to bring to your life. But it's not that God is not able to change everything inside you. The only thing that He needs is your faith. In what? In the mystery of Jesus Christ, that He was died for my sins, and He rise from the dead for showing me the power of God in my sins. It's clear. It's very important that we understand the mercy, because it's not a kind of feeling of God. It's the power of God. In this text that I gave you, I am going to give you, I'm going to give it to you now. You have on the back John Paul II. I read it so you can see. You need to use these papers. The important thing is your meditation. Have this very clear. These papers, in case you are very dry, you can read them when you are out of here. You can read them whenever you want. But try to make your time of meditation. Try to make your effort for opening to the mercy of God and the love God has you now and here to you. Even whatever is your situation, moral situation, or sin situation, or weakness, or problems, God is loving you and is wanting to work in you. And the more poor you are, the more capable are you of receiving the graces of God. Have this very clear. God doesn't need nothing. He needs only one thing, that I recognize my needs of love. He only needs that. What? The truth of my heart is the only thing that He needs. That I bring that truth of my wounds, of my sins to Him. And I bring them to salvation, to the power and the mercy of God and the love of God. And here I read, the true and proper meaning of mercy does not consist only in looking, however penetratingly and compassionately, at moral, so sins, physical or material evil. Mercy is manifested in its true and proper aspect when it restores to value, promotes and draws good from all the forms of evil existing in the world and in man. Understood in this way, as power of God acting in evil for transforming what is bad in good, understood in this way, mercy constitutes the fundamental content of the messianic message of Jesus Christ and the constitutive power of His mission. I mean, how? God acting in you. I mean, this is not for general things. It's the how God wants to work in you in His power. But He needs that you open to His love, and His, because it's not His block. You don't believe in the power of God Almighty, and you don't believe in the resurrection, because for that necessarily is Almighty. You don't believe in the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is all founded in the Almighty power of God and in the creative action of God that is able to transform the substance of bread in the body and blood of Christ. You cannot believe in that if you are not believing that God is Creator, and He has Almighty power now and here. So we have a very superficial faith in things. And God is wanting to work, but He works through mercy. Have this very clear, it's very important. You have this. So I give you some, what is mercy? So the petition, get the petition, what is mercy? Mercy is a surprising, more intense love of God for the poor, for the little, for the weak, and for sinners. That is mercy. It's the love of God can be more intense. That is what it has revealed. That when the person is poor, when the person is a sinner, He loves more him. I mean, we cannot understand that because we are the contrary. Somebody does me something, I get upset, angry, and frustrated. But God is not us. God is love. And when we were refusing him, and we were accusing her as him, as we continue doing, because you read the books of philosophers and it's amazing. I mean, he make an act of love of our for showing us his love in the faithfulness of giving his son to die on a cross for us. And that is the mercy of God. That is the way God is loving every human being. I mean, and he loves that. The only thing that he needs, what? Only one thing. That I come to the truth of my need of his love. That is the only thing that God is asking. The reason Jesus is the truth. And every person who comes to the truth is coming to Jesus. It's a Christian or is not a Christian. If a person is not coming to the truth, even is a Christian, he's not coming to Jesus. I mean, Jesus is about the truth and the Father is about the power. And Jesus came to, we accept that he loves us in the truth of our being. Not in what we want to be or we should be or my parents thought about me or I thought I have to be. No, that doesn't work before God. What works with God is the truth of yourself, who you are and how. What is your weakness and your poverty. Because every human being is very poor, very little and very weak. And when we are not there, we cannot be with God. Because in the moment I separate from him, what happened? That you can do nothing. So mercy is the way of coming to him. Because I can bring to him everything. Mercy means that my power before God is my weakness. So your power before God is your weakness, is your misery, is your sins. So don't be afraid of God. I mean, because I see so much fear in people about God. Mercy means a love stronger than sin and evil. That is all Romans chapter 5, verses and in the, from 10 to 20. I mean, it's where sins was an abundance, grace, so the love of God, superabundance. So that is mercy, is that God wants to give you whatever is the sins you have in your life. I know it very well. I was converted in 25 years. I mean, I was carousing. My life was sex, girls, and I was there. And from one day to other, God transformed my life. Because I moved my heart to him. Because I was well educated and I know God from childhood before I began to sing clearly. And I separated from God because of my sins. But when I come to him, what I was amazed without doing nothing, because I was not better than the day before. How can I be better than the day before? I have no virtues. I was the same guy as the day before. He gave me such amazing graces. I mean, that was like experiencing happiness now in earth. I mean, why? No reason, only because I turned to him and I want to come out from my former life. That is true. That is the only desire that was in my heart, that I have done wrong. And God is there. But the only thing that he needs is that. He don't need any other thing more because it was all mercy. I was a sinner the same as the same day before. I had not gone to confession. I have not gone to anything. So you keep saying, oh, if I go to confession, God is going to give me. I mean, we are crazy. We don't know God. We don't know his love. You are always at my home. All my things are yours. We have a problem of knowledge of the goodness and love of God for us. Why? Because we are not open to him. And that is the problem we have. And because the only thing that he needs is a heart that wants to convert, want to come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe and convert. And this is the all gospel. God is here. He loves you. He wants to work in your heart. But he needs faith that I believe in God and convert that I want to change. If I don't want to change, how he's going to work in my heart? If I want to remain in evil, I am refusing God. So he's unable to work in you. If I want to change the things that are contrary to love that are in me, he will do it. And he will do it. Because he has the power. So mercy is all everything in salvation. You have give you some more text. So how is the, where is Jesus came to reveal the mercy of the Father? You know, all the encyclical of John Paul II, that is a wonderful one. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. It is rich in mercy. It's about the mercy of the Father. And the key text is, who sees me sees the Father. John 14:9. Who sees me sees the Father. The encyclical is rich in mercy. It's the encyclical he wrote about the Father. It's amazing, I mean, about what is mercy in the revelation of God. What is, you have Luke 18:1-19. So before mercy, only words, trust and humility. Humility is knowing myself and accepting myself. You know the expression of Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus? You can be amazed. I mean, a woman who was dying, and when she was dying, she commits some mistake or whatever, say, how glad I am of seeing my weakness in the moment of my death. I mean, only a person who knows the mercy of God can be there in total knowledge. I mean, the greatest grace the Almighty has given me, this is Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus also, the greatest grace the Almighty has given me is the awareness of my incapacity and translating, I'm powerless for any kind of good. Why? Because in that moment I stop relying in myself. I begin to rely on others. If I am totally aware of my incapacity for good and for love, I mean, if I want love and I want good, I rely on Him. So the greatest grace the Almighty has given me is knowing my incapacity and my powerless for any kind of good. I mean, that is mercy. Is that it's about Him, because He's the giver, He's the creator, but He's the giver also to the soul. And we need Him, we need to live from Him, from His mercy. That is all John 15 is about His mercy. All the scripture is about the mercy of God. It's a revelation of the mercy of God. So the two virtues that let God work in you always, and with this you get the heart of God always and the love of God always, are humility and trust. Humility and trust. The only problem is that we have a mechanism of justification, mechanism of defense, of rationalization, that is trying to cover up everything. And this is the world, how it's living. And there is where you are from childhood, protecting yourself because you are afraid. And now you need to be perfect, you need to be good, you need to be, and there is craving for perfectionism, that is one of the neurotic behavior, more women than men, because men is more about getting things, women is more about themselves. I mean, it's because that, it's because if I am going to be loved, I need to be perfect. How is going to love me someone if I am not perfect, no? I mean, if I have imperfections, I am weak, I am poor, I have shortcomings and miseries, how someone is going to love me? Here is the contrary. And that is salvation. Salvation is opening to the mercy of God and knowing I don't need to hit anything. I need to open everything to Him because He can heal me and save everything that is wrong in me. It's exactly the contrary of what this society is making. And you know, it's the power, the root of all psychological neurotic problems is the mechanism of justification. It's the mechanism of rationalization in which I lie myself about myself. And it's the first thing was there. When Adam sinned, what he did? He tried to hide from God. That he was, but how you are going to hide from God? I mean, it's crazy. He was hiding from himself. He was not hiding from God, of course. Why? Because he don't want to know that what he has done. But why? Because he don't know the mercy of God. Now we know the mercy of God. And that all my sins have been taken in the cross of Jesus. You can read also Isaiah 53 because it's all about that, the mercy of God and the love of God, how He took my sins, He took my sufferings, so teaching me that I have never been, that I am never alone. Psalm 51. Matthew 5:43-48. The goal of everything is the mercy of God. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. Is be merciful as your Father is merciful. If you live from mercy, you will be merciful with other people. If you don't live from mercy, you continue being judgmental as we are. And you know it, that we are judging continually other people. If you live from mercy, you put mercy in your heart, and now you become merciful. Matthew 5:43-48. Matthew 9:10-12. And Matthew 18:21-35. You know, John 8:1-11 is the adulterous woman that we read 2 weeks ago, depending on the church what on the mass you were. But is there, I mean, I don't condemn you. And that is God talking. I don't condemn you. Why? Because God has not come from condemning anyone, has come for saving us, for bringing us out for what is destroying our lives, our marriages, our relationship, our humanity. Romans 1:1-17. Romans 1:1-17. Chapter 1, verses 1-17. Romans 3:10-31. So the letter of Romans is all about faith because it's all about mercy. Because you can't understand that somebody is loving you when you are doing wrong. No? I mean, it's impossible that you get that. That somebody is loving you when you are doing wrong. For what? For bringing you to his love, because you are doing wrong, because you are separating from his love. And what he wants is your good. Galatians 2:16-21. There are a lot of texts in the scripture that you can understand is one of the central points. Mary, in the Magnificat, proclaims the mercy of God twice. I mean, because it's all about the mercy of God. And the Benedictus this morning, the same thing. You have Luke 1:46-55 and Luke 1:68-79. And 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. It's an amazing text of the mercy of God. So try to open to that mercy. It's the goal. Mary is the mother of mercy. And she knows the mercy of God with her, because she is Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus talk about this. I know the mercy of God has had for me because he didn't let me to commit any mortal sin. So the mercy of God is not only that, it's the love of God in our weakness. So, but when you have the mercy of God, you have everything. You are powerful at God. I mean, and it's an expression of the heart of Jesus to Margaret of Alacoque. Said the one who distrust totally in himself for putting all his trust in me is almighty. I mean, the one who distrusts totally in himself for putting all his trust in me is almighty. Why? Because in that moment you have the power of God. I mean, you conquer everything. But it's, again, trust is not a feeling. I mean, trust is a moving of the heart toward God and expecting everything from him, happiness, the union with him, and every other thing that he wants to give me in this moment. But I need to be there. So, and also we are called to bring mercy to others. That is very important in this meditation. Not only we are called to give mercy to others. Matthew 7:1-5. We are called to be merciful. Luke 6:36-38. Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. That is the whole of a spiritual life. It's bringing compassion to a world that is deeply wounded. And instead of judging them, we can help them through love. Because mercy is the love for the one who is wounded, who is sick, who has problems. I mean, and when God gives you that love, you can heal your family, you can heal people. But we need first to open me to that love of God, because that is the desire of forgiving others. So, and Jesus put it very clear and very, very strong. So, Matthew 7:1-5, Luke 6:36-38. And forgiving, this is an amazing text. You know, Matthew 18:21-19:1. So next chapter and first verse. So the gospel is a book about the mercy of God, this revelation of the mercy of God, especially in St. Luke, that is the one who put more clear that is in all the gospels. Because the mercy of God is Jesus crucified and resurrected. That is the mercy of God. So it's the whole thing. I mean, the Paschal mystery is celebrating that God was crucified and rise from the dead. And all the masses, we are celebrating the same thing, what? The mercy of God. So try to open more to that, love of God for you. So the second meditation, I go quicker. I mean, it's a meditation for hating our sins. Meditation for hating sins and sinful attachments that separate me from God, from myself and from my neighbor. So meditation for hating sins and sinful attachments. So the things that are inside me that are not letting me to love other people. I get upset. I want to be patient, but I am not patient. I continue being impatient with my children. I mean, it's because the sinful attachment that I have. And if I don't face them and I don't get rid of them, nothing is good. I need to open them to the love of God. But that separates me. So the property of sins, every sin has... it breaks a relationship with God, with myself, with my neighbor, and with creation. So that is the effect of everything. It's breaking the relationships. We are relational beings, so it's affecting my human being, my existence. So it's harming myself. So everything is harming you. It's not harming any other people. I mean, when people come to confession, say, I was... presupposing the mercy of God, and the word is not presupposing, is I was
presuming,
that is the word, presuming the mercy of God, thank you. I mean, I say, okay, but you don't understand what is this about, because what you are doing is harming yourself. So you are creating a vice, you are creating an addiction, you are creating a bigger problem. I mean, we don't hate sin, and this meditation is for hating sin. It's called the virtue of penance. The virtue of penance is not doing weird things. The virtue of penance is hating evil because it's destroying my life, because it's destroying my family, because it's destroying my relationship with other people. It's hating evil. That is the virtue of penance. But hatred is coming from love. So you cannot hate something if you don't love the contrary. Because I love God, because I love to grow, I love to be the mother, the wife, the person that I am called to be, I hate what is breaking and destroying that. It's clear the point? I mean, hatred cannot come by itself. It has to come from love. And because I love something and I want something in my life, I hate the contrary. So the first movement in the human heart is always love. Even it's a sinful thing, it's always love what rules our life. So, is Jesus crucified by my sins? The Son of God, scourged by my sins. Here the petition is, you can go, you can make your own petition. I mean, ask for the evil that is sin. I mean, you can use images. In Ignatius use a lot of images. One is being in prison with shackles and there with a dirty body with wounds and sores and is spelling bad things. Why? For making a physical image of sin. You can use other that is leper. What does sin in our lives is making us lepers. So think what happened to a leper and pass it to the spiritual life. That is what sin and all this bad behavior that don't destroy our life and don't kill us in a moment, but they destroy our humanity. Being unable, a person to feel, to have senses with God, to touch God, to know God, to see God, to hear to God. They are destroying all the senses in the spiritual level. And that is a leper. I mean, a leper is losing all the body is corrupting and is losing every capacity of senses. You know, you lose the fingers, you lose things. I mean, why? Because it's a horrible sickness, but passing it to the spiritual dimension. You can reuse the text Revelation 3:17-20. So here it says, I am going to the petition of St. Ignatius. The petition is divided in three. So ask for these three graces. Deep and intimate knowledge of my sins and hatred for them. Deep and intimate knowledge. It's a grace of God. I mean, because you can think, oh yes, sin is bad. Deep and intimate knowledge of my sins and hatred for them. And you have a text that you can use there, Ephesians 4:17-32. Ephesians 4:17-32. Deep and intimate knowledge of my sin and hatred for them. And he goes to another level, a little more deep. Deep and intimate knowledge of the disorder of my interior movements, thoughts and desires, so all my affections, so the things that are not sins, but are sinful behavior that remain in me all along my life. So deep and intimate knowledge of the disorder. Disorder are things that are not oriented toward God. That is called disorder in this case. You cannot order them to God. Of my interior movements, thoughts, desires, affections, and grace. So as the grace for hating. So intimate knowledge and hating and freeing me from them. Jesus wants that for you. So I give you some text about that. Second petition. So I repeat it. Deep and intimate knowledge of the disorder of my interior movements, that including everything, affection, thoughts, judges that we do to other people. I mean, a lot of things. My interior movements, thoughts, desires, and affections, and grace for hating and freeing me from them. When you hate something, you are freeing yourself from that. 1 John 2:15-17. First John, so first letter of St. John, chapter 2, verses 15 to 18, because in 18 talk about the will of God, 15 to 18. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Philippians 3:18-19. And the third petition, it has three petitions. So the first is the knowledge of my sins. Second, disorder that are inside me that are not letting me to be a holy person. And third, deep and intimate knowledge of the lies. Deep and intimate knowledge of the lies, deceits, and allurements of the world. And grace for disdaining them. In fact, it is the gift of science, what is asking St. Ignatius here. Deep and intimate knowledge of the lies, deceits, and allurements of the world, and grace for disdaining them. So they don't keep me going. I mean, there are a lot of things here, TV, Facebook, Instagram, all these things that are getting our hearts and are not letting us grow. I mean, there are things that are, we use them because our loneliness and our void inside. Because a person who has interior life doesn't go there, I mean, obviously. James 4:17. You can read about this. James 4:17. And Deuteronomy 32:1-52. Deuteronomy 32:1-52. James 4:4-17. And Deuteronomy 32:1-52. Make the colloquy with Mary. Here is beautiful to pray the Anima Christi, soul of Christ. I mean, with Jesus, go to Jesus. He died for your sins. He died for you, hate sins. I mean, the expression is Hebrews 6:6. You can read that when you read, on my part, when I sin, I crucified again the Son of God. It's amazing, I mean, text. So, Hebrews 6:6. On my part, when I sin again, I crucified on my part the Son of God. And in the same thing, or worse even, Hebrews 10:29-31. How we trample the blood of Jesus, we disdain the Holy Spirit, and we break the covenant of God. I mean, that is what a sin does. Hebrews 10:29-31. The virtue of penance is that is hating sin. I mean, if you hate your sin, you conquer them. And here are some reasons for hating sin. First, it's against happiness. So more you sin, more unhappy you are. There is a reason this world is so unhappy. So try to desire happiness. I mean, more you desire happiness, more you will... I mean, all therapies are trying to teach that your behavior is wrong and try to change it, but you can't... So it's against happiness. Every sin destroys me as a person. So it's anti-human. So it's creating something bad in me as a human, and create addictions and vices. So it's making the way of happiness more difficult. It's not only that it's separating me from happiness, it's that it's making now to turn to happiness more difficult, because the contrary of virtues is addictions and vices. It's anti-divine and anti-human. What we told before, break the four relationships that are your life. God, myself, others, my family and friends, and my relationship with creation and reality. And this is even the most hidden sin. Every sin is madness and blindness. It's irrational and stupid. It's a lie of Satan. We lose God for a moment of ego. That is what we do when we sin. Here are some texts that go in this line. Jeremiah 2:10-13. I told you before, Hebrews 10:26-27. John 8:44-47. John 8:44-47. 2 Timothy. John 8:44-47. 2 Timothy, second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, 25-26. So try to create that understanding that is fullness, is foolishness, is malice in every sin. So try to hate your sins. You can conquer a lot of things here. I mean, I was told you, I was coming from a world of all was sex and my life and carousing and girls and going to the night. I don't have temptations. Why? Because I don't want. And in the moment the temptation comes, if it comes, because Satan is very cunning, and I react hating the temptation and bringing what is happiness and what is fullness and all and these things or different things for bringing it, I mean, he's afraid of tempting. Why? Because he tempts, because he sees that we continue having a desire. The contrary of a desire is hatred. So you get to hate something, and the problem is that we have created, and all your sins you have, as me, as every human being, is that are connected with your desire of happiness and your desire of being loved. And now I have made choices in my childhood or whatever for putting happiness in that action, whatever. For example, pornography and masturbation, as I had for a long time. I mean, and I have this problem, and why? Because I connected happiness with sex, with pleasure, and with the thinking that somebody loves me, because that is sex. Thinking that somebody loves me in my imagination, and the desire of being loved is there, and the desire of happiness, because it's some pleasure. And pleasure has a dimension of happiness, is infinite pleasure, so it's a thing of that. And how do you disconnect that? I mean, disconnected with happiness and with the desire of being loved, understanding that there is nothing. What is always after a sin is sadness and more loneliness. So exactly the contrary of what you are looking for. So you become more sad and more lonely. I mean, it's terrible, but this society is totally... The other day, yesterday, Palucci was talking to us, and he told us that 80% of men are with problems of pornography. I mean, with addiction. I mean, it's something... Why? Because we don't face the spiritual life. Because spiritual life is about joy, peace, and fullness. And when I have peace, joy, and fullness, I'm not going to be tempted by that. I am tempted by that because the lack of God in my heart. If you have God, you conquer everything. But I need to hate that because it's a connection that now pops in me, like judgmental. You can do that not only with sex, I mean, whatever thing, having a judgmental mind, being lazy for this or for that, whatever thing that is here, the three petitions we have done, you can conquer it. And God wants you to make your choice for wanting to be free from that, asking His grace. Finish. We have this text so you understand the mercy, amazing mercy of God. It's Mother Teresa of Calcutta, you know it. Probably inside thirst, how God thirsts for you, being exactly as you are, not as you should be or you must be or whatever other things in your life. God loves you as you are. I mean, have this very clear. And He can do the things new and different, but He needs that I want. And that is all about this meditation, is that sin is destroying my life, my joy and my happiness. But I need to want. If I don't want, how God is going to do His work? Without my consent and my will, that is not going to happen ever. Because He respects my freedom. We will see at 4 in the... No, 4 o'clock? Yes, 4 o'clock in the... Do you want to add something? Because a lot. A lot of information. So, at the end, you don't need to read the papers. At the end, I will give you all the meditations. Try to make the steps. It's very important. Try to make your effort. Prayer is a battle. Presuppose effort, always. If you are not with that disposition, the enemy that knows our weakness, boom, is going to get you away from prayer. But if you are in the disposition, no, I'm going to make my hour of prayer, first about the mercy of God, and second about for hating sins. I mean, you have material and quotes more than you need if you are dry. But if you go well in prayer and you receive consolation, keep there. I mean, don't try to read anything. Try to let God work more in you. I mean, because that is the only way of conquering sin is experiencing the love of God. Have this very clear. And God loves you now. Whatever is your situation, whatever are your sins, He loves you. And He wants to give you love now. And it's not conditioned by your sins. It's because He loves you. And the only way of coming out of my sins, I know it because I was there, is experiencing His love and experiencing His love for me and happiness. And in that moment, the things are easy, very easy. Because you understand that you have the fullness and you don't want to lose it. But if you don't have the experience because you don't put in prayer yourself, how is it going to work? I mean, you don't make this test for putting in prayer, God cannot do the things because you are not wanting. Not is because He doesn't love you. So try it, work yourselves.